I don't know if you remember, you probably do, being back in kindergarten when they would pass out that sheet of paper that had those lines on it. And they had those lines on it because they were trying to teach you how to write. Now, I understand they don't teach you how to write cursive anymore, and that kind of breaks my heart. But they weren't teaching you how to write cursive back in kindergarten. They just wanted to teach you to write your A, B's, and C's so that normal people could read it. And so they would often put up at the top of the page some words that were dotted or dashed lines in the words so that you could trace it with your pencil. With your pencil, you didn't use a marker or a pen in kindergarten, with your pencil so that you could trace it, and then you would have some lines underneath it so that you could write it on your own. At 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, when the Bible says that Christ left us an example that we should follow in His steps, the word example comes from the Greek word that is exactly what this is talking about. That word example literally means to write under. And it's as if Jesus is written at the top of our sheet of paper, and God says we need to write under that exactly how we're going to be like Jesus. If He's at the top of the page, He's showing us how we can look like Jesus. Our theme this year for this congregation has been Press On, and for each month we have a different emphasis that goes along with with that idea of pressing on. The emphasis this month is to press on to look more like Jesus. And that's one reason that our lectureship, the theme of our lectureship, fits inside the theme of November. The theme of November, to look more like Jesus. The theme of our lectureship, conformed to His image. And that whole concept comes from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. That Jesus has been written at the top. And if we want to know what we need to look like, we need to look at Jesus. So maybe you're somebody this morning who says, you know what? I really, really, really want to look like Jesus. Is that you? Or if you're here today, I suppose you do want to look like Jesus. But do you really, really, really want to look like Jesus? If you were going to decide today, you know what? I'm tired of looking like me. I'm tired of looking like Madonna. I'm tired of looking like Mike. I'm tired of looking like whoever it is that you've been trying to look like. And I'm looking at some of your hairstyles, and you know, I'm trying to look like Dan Fuller is what I'm trying to do. He's my role model, and mine's getting there, Dan. But whoever it is that you're trying to be like, do you really, really, really want to be like Jesus? And if you do, how are you going to figure out how to do that? This morning, I want us to look at three R's that are going to tell us how we can really, really look like Jesus. And if we'll take these and understand these, we can leave here and decide today, I am going to look like Jesus. But the only way I can look like Jesus is if I am related to Him. You can't look like Jesus if you're not related to Him. Have you ever seen somebody And you knew that they had to be related to somebody else that you knew? Have you ever looked at somebody's children? You ever looked at somebody's children and said, you got your mama's eyes? It's not that, you know, how did she get her mama's eyes? Well, they're related to each other. Well, you got your daddy's nose. Sorry, sweetheart, you got your daddy's nose. Where'd she get her daddy's nose? They're related to each other. People who are related, not all the time, but they often look alike. I think about Bobbo's dad. Bobbo's dad has a twin brother. I have a hard time telling them apart. When I see Robert Lupo, I can't help but think about Ron Lupo, because they look alike. And you know they're brothers. When Bethany and Julie Leslie were growing up in this church, I couldn't tell them apart. And when they visit, I still can't tell them apart. I know somebody says, well, if you look here, you can tell that, okay, fine and dandy. I just know it's either Bethany or it's Julie. Because, you know, people who are related, sometimes they look more alike than others. But if you're going to look like Jesus, you've got to be related to Him. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want us to see something in Hebrews chapter 2 that's pretty fascinating. Because in Hebrews chapter 2, you read about Jesus coming down to this earth. And I've got on the word, I've got on the screen the word condescended. And that's not a negative word. We use that word in a negative sense. But Jesus, God, condescended. God brought him down, brought himself down to the human level. Why would God do that? If you're God, why would you condescend and come down to live a human life? Why would you do that? Look in Hebrews chapter 2. Here's reason number 1, verse 9. Jesus came down to this earth to live as a human so that he could taste death for everyone. God doesn't die. God had to become a human. He had to condescend to the human level so that he could die for us. That's an amazing thought, that he was willing to do that for us. Number 2, he condescended to the human level so that he could die for us. In order that, verse 10, he could become our Savior. So that he's called the captain of our salvation in verse 10. He could not have died for us and saved us through his blood if he did not come down and live as a human. That's why he came down to this earth. You go to the last couple verses of the chapter, and you see that Jesus came down and lived a human life in order that he could not just be related to us, we're going to talk about that in a second, but in order that he could relate to us so that he could know what it's like to be a human, so that he could know what it's like to be tempted, so that he could know what it's like to go through life on this earth. And that's what Hebrews chapter 2 verse 16 says. He's not giving aid to the angels, but he came in order, verse 17, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. He's been here, he's done that, he's gone through these things in order that he might know us, relate to us, and help us. But I want you to back up for just a second to an earlier verse here. Why did Jesus come down to this earth? Jesus came down to this earth in order that he might bring us into the same family. Verse 10, he's described as the captain of their salvation, in order to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11 says, for both he, Christ, who sanctifies, and those who are being sanctified are all of one. They are all of one Father. They are all of one family because he's the sanctifier and they are the sanctified and they are all of one. Jesus came in order that you could be in the same family as him. He wanted us to be in the same family. And then the rest of that verse catches on what we're looking at today, where it says, those that we are sanctified are one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus, God, condescended down to the human level in order that he might call us his brothers. Let that sink in for a minute. When the Bible talks about how much God loves us, when the Bible talks about how much Christ loves you, think about the fact that he came down to this earth not just to be your Lord, not just to be your master, not just to be on that level, but to call you his brethren. So in verse 12 says, in the midst of the assembly, what? I will sing praises. But in the midst, here he is in the midst of brethren in the assembly. Jesus is here today in our midst, not just as our Lord, not just as our Master, not just as our Savior, but Jesus is in the midst of the assembly today as a brother. That concept boggles the mind. But if I want to look like him, I've got to be related to him. And the only way that I can be related to him is I've got to become a part of his family. I've got to become a part of his family. When Jesus was on the earth in John chapter 3, he talked to Nicodemus and said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 3. I've got to be born again. I've got to be born into a new family. And being born into that family requires me to do what John chapter 3 and verse 5 says. It requires me to be born of two elements, one birth, but of two elements, being born of water and the Spirit. I've got to be baptized, John 3 and verse 5 says, in order to be born into the family of God. And at that point, I can call Jesus my brother. And only then can I start to look like Jesus. I've got to be in the right family. I've got to be in His family in order to be able to call Jesus my brother. But I've also, and this ties right in with it, I've got to have the same father. Somebody can't be my brother if we don't have the same father. Spiritually speaking, I've got to have the same father. In the Bible, in the New Testament anyway, in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Son of God. I need to become a son of God. I need to become a child of God in order for Jesus to be my brother, in order for me to be related to Jesus. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, the Bible says that you're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, how do we become children of God? Verse 27 says, for as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There it is again. That it's through faith, it's through baptism that one becomes a child of God. It's through faith and it's through baptism that one enters into the family of God. It's through faith and it's through baptism that one can call God his Father and can call Jesus Christ his brother. Turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, there is a section of Scripture here that talks about the unique relationship that we have with our God. Unique relationship we have with our Father, unique relationship we have with Jesus Christ. The chapter starts out in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, saying there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, how do I get into Christ Jesus if that's where no condemnation is? We just saw that in Galatians 3, verse 27. We got to be baptized into Christ. But drop down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, as many are as led by the Spirit of God who follow the teachings of the Spirit of God, these are the children, the sons of God. Who are children? Who are sons of God? Those who follow the teaching of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. God has adopted you, if you are His child, by whom you are able to cry out, Abba, Father. If you are a child of God, having become such by following the will of God, you are able to call upon God not just as your God, but as your Father. And if God's your Father, what does that make Jesus? That makes Him your brother. But when you think about Jesus being your brother, it's only when we are in a proper relationship with Him that we can call Him our brother. That's the only way. Look down in verse 16. You're in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If we have followed the teachings of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, then we proclaim through our obedience that we are children of God. Verse 17 says, if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God. But look at this next expression. If we're children of God, we're heirs of God, and not just heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. The only way you can obtain the inheritance that awaits you is to be a joint heir with Christ, to have Christ as your brother, to have followed the plan that He has laid out. And then and only then, look down at verse 29, then and only then can you be conformed to His image. Verse 29 talks about those who are His brethren. Only those who are His brethren are those who are conformed to His image. Those who look like Jesus. Somebody says, I really want to look like Jesus. You can't look like Jesus if you're not related to Jesus. The only way that you can be related to Jesus is to follow the plan that God has laid out in His Word. And we've seen that in John 3 and in Galatians chapter 3. Through faith, to be baptized, to be born again through water and the Spirit into His family. Are you related to Him today? Are you in His family today? The second way that we become to look like Jesus is once we are related to Him, it doesn't stop there. Just because I get baptized and I get into His family, that doesn't mean I look like Jesus. Not yet. Not entirely. Once I am in his family, I can only look like Jesus if I research him. What? That sounds weird. What does that mean, research him? Where's that word come from? Have you ever heard about, have you ever read about what some actors and actresses do in order to learn how to portray a particular role that they are going to take? There are some actors, some actresses, that they and some of them are portraying a real-life character, not some fictional character. Some of them are there to portray a real-life character. And sometimes they will spend months and months researching, studying, investigating a particular character to learn things about them so that when they portray them on the screen, they look like the person that they are portraying. Daniel Day-Lewis portrayed Abraham Lincoln in a film. He spent months studying Lincoln to try to figure out how he could accurately depict Lincoln on the screen. He was actually in, same actor was in the Mohican family, the Mohican film. What was that called? Last of the Mohicans. Sorry, I couldn't get the Last of the Mohicans. Same actor was in that. And the story is told that he spent 6 months out in the wild learning how to build, to dig his own, to make, craft his own canoe in order to kill and to slay and to skin animals. He spent 6 months out in the wild, story is, in order to learn how to portray better the character that he was trying to be in the movie. Some of you remember the movie Rain Man and Dustin Hoffman. If you go back and read what Dustin did back in the 80s, how he immersed himself in a situation and for months was around a particular spent time learning how to portray autism on the screen. And he spent time, I think it was with a 28-year-old autistic man, trying to accurately depict this on the screen. What does that mean? They were researching these people. They were studying, how can I accurately look like this person when I'm not that person, but how can I accurately portray that person? I'm trying to look like Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but if I really, really, really want to look like Jesus, I'm not Jesus, what do I got to do? I got to research him. I've got to investigate and say, okay, what did he look, and once I figure that out, then I apply it to me. I immerse myself in that. So what do? I start opening his word, and I start studying, and I start investigating. How did this man live? I start studying and investigating. How did Jesus spend his time? How did he spend his time? What did he do? What did he do during his days? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter tells us. He says he spent his time doing good. He went about doing good. So if I want to look like Jesus, what do I need to do tomorrow? I need to go about doing good. If I want to look like Jesus on Tuesday, when I go to school, when I go to work, when I'm out in the community, what do I need to go about doing good? And if you want to know what doing good means, just insert the word right. It means to go about doing what's right as defined by God. I need to investigate God. What did he do? How did he spend his time? How did he talk? And if I'm going to look like Jesus, I've got to learn to talk like Jesus talked. Jesus talked about love. He talked about salvation. He talked about truth. He talked about obedience. The things that Jesus talked about, the people Jesus talked to. If I'm going to look like Jesus, I've got to do what he did. I've got to talk like he talked. I've got to look and see, how did Jesus respond to people when he was mistreated? When people mistreat me, if I'm going to look like Jesus when people mistreat me, what do I need to do? Same thing we saw in the reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 23 says, he was insulted, but he did not insult in return. When he was beaten, when he was persecuted, he did not turn around and threaten them. If I'm going to look like Jesus, I need to research. How did he deal with people when they were mistreating him? In general, how did Jesus interact with people? In general, how did Jesus treat his fellow human beings? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, beginning there, the Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Does this sound like Jesus? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Does this sound like Jesus? Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. Does that sound anything like Jesus? Paul says it does, because in verse 5 he says, let this mind that I've just been telling you about be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did Jesus treat others? If I'm going to look like Jesus, I need to research and investigate how he treated others, and I need to go and treat others in the very same way. What was it that was important to Jesus? What was it that Jesus liked? Do I need to like the same things Jesus liked? Did Jesus like broccoli, by the way? Did Jesus like liver and onions? I'm not talking about those kind of things that Jesus... Did Jesus dislike... No, what did Jesus like? What did he dislike? If I'm going to look like Jesus, I need to like what he liked and I need to dislike what he disliked. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 tells us that Jesus loved righteousness and he hated lawlessness. If I'm going to look like Jesus, I've got to love righteousness. I've got to love that which God says is right, and I need to hate that which God says is wrong. If I don't do that, I don't look like Jesus. If I want to look like Jesus, and I say, in general, overall, what was it that characterized this man? If you could just boil it down to say, what was it? If I'm going to look like him, what needs to characterize me? What characterized him? That needs to characterize me. In Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 and in verse 9. Verse 7 is Jesus' words that say, behold, I have come to do thy will, O God. What characterized Jesus' life? He came to do the will of God. That's why he was here. Is that why I'm here? Is that what characterizes me? If I'm going to look like Jesus, I've got to research him. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a discussion in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about the contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and how much better the New Testament, the New Covenant is over the Old Covenant. And in that Old Covenant, Moses wore that veil. You remember that veil that he wore when he went up to speak with God because the people didn't want to see his face. But the Bible says when we pick up the New Covenant, verse 18 says, we with unveiled face, we don't have a veil, we don't have anything in between us and God, we pick up the New Testament. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, we behold his glory. That's a present tense verb, meaning I keep on beholding his glory. And that verse says, when I keep on beholding his glory here, I am transformed. I am changed. When I keep on beholding his glory here, I am transformed from glory to glory. I begin to look like him, which means I've got to spend time examining him in his word. If I don't research him, if I don't figure out how he wants me to look, I'll never look like him. Somebody says, make that practical for me. Somebody says, tell me some ways that can be real. What are some areas where I can really look like Jesus? Let me share very quick. I'm just going to read this list. 14 ways. 14 ways you can look like Jesus. You can look like Jesus in determination to please God, and extending grace and forgiveness like he did, and showing compassion to others like he did, and being a courageous leader like he was, and loving lost souls like he did, and making prayer a personal priority like Jesus did, and love for truth like Jesus had, and serving others with impartiality like Jesus did, and overcoming temptation like Jesus did, and being a true friend like Jesus was, and staying focused on God's purpose like Jesus was, and being content in all things like Jesus was, and changing lives using God's word like Jesus did, and in handling adversity. Here are 14 practical ways that I can look like Jesus. And somebody says, that's a pretty random list. Where'd you get that list? Here's where I got that list. That's the 14 topics that are going to be talked about in our lectureship this weekend. You want to tell me why we don't need to be at the lectureship this weekend? If we want to look like Jesus, here's 14 real-to-life ways that I can come to a spiritual feast and learn how can I look like him? And to find all of these ways that I can leave having investigated, having researched, and say that's what I want to look like, and take that and adopt it and apply it to me. Do you look like Jesus? Have you been researching him? Finally and briefly, I've got to be related to him. I've got to research him. And then I've got to remain with him. Well, where does this concept come from? Have you ever seen And for some of these, I thought about putting pictures on the screen. When I talked about family members related to each other and they look the same, and when we talked about researching, and I thought about putting some pictures on the screen, but I thought about putting a picture on the screen for this. What do we mean by remaining with him? Have you ever seen older couples who start to look like each other? Husband and wife, you laugh because you know it's true. Husband and wife who've been married for 50, 60, 70 years, and they start to look like each other. I think of Bill and Evelyn Coleman. Those names won't mean a lot to some of you. I think of Bill and Evelyn Coleman. They looked a lot alike in their later years. You look at, why? He's still a man and she's still a woman. What do you mean they start to look like each other? Because they've spent so much time together. Some of you are thinking, oh no, I'm doomed. Some of you are thinking, oh man, this is horrible. But it doesn't happen to everybody. But have you ever seen an older couple? Not identical twins, but you just thought, isn't that a cute couple? Why did you say that was a cute couple? Because they just fit together. They started to look like each other. Why? Because they had spent so much time together. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we will look like Him. We need to obey Him. We need to get baptized in order to be related to Him. But that doesn't mean I'm going to look like Him fully. I need to research Him and figure out what does He look like so that I can adopt that and look like Him. But that's not just a one-time act. I've got to keep on spending time with Him in order that I can keep on looking like Him. So I thought about this point. I thought about this question. Why did Jesus spend 3.5 years with His apostles? What were His apostles going to do? When Jesus left, what were His apostles going to do? They were going to go and preach the message of Christ. They were not just going to go and preach the message of Christ. The Bible says Jesus told them, don't worry about what you are going to say, because it will be given you at that moment. What does that mean? It means when Peter got up to preach on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave Peter the words to preach. The Bible says, when Jesus talked to His disciples in John 14, 15 and 16, He told them, the Spirit is going to come. He's going to guide you, apostles, into all truth. He's going to tell you what to say. Okay, back to my question. Why did Jesus spend 3.5 years with His disciples if what they were going to do, what His apostles were going to do, is go and preach whatever the Holy Spirit told them to preach? If they're just going to preach whatever the Holy Spirit's going to preach, who cares if He spent 3.5 years with them? He spent 3.5 years with them not just so that they would know what to preach when the Holy Spirit told them to preach, but so that they would look like Jesus when they did it. So that they would know what He looked like, and so that when they went out and spoke those words, they would resemble Him when they did. Did it work? When they went out and preached, when they went out among the people, did it work? Was it recognizable that these people had been with Jesus? Do you remember when Peter was warming himself around the fire while Jesus was on trial? And Peter was accused of having been with Jesus. We know, we've seen you. And what did he do 3 times? I don't know the man, don't know the man, don't know the man. But there was one time when that girl said, I know you were with Him. Your speech betrays you. Now, I know that may be talking about the fact that he was a Galilean. And Galileans had a funny accent. They didn't talk like everybody else down in Jerusalem, down in the south. Those people up in the north, they had a different accent. So I know he's talking about Galilean. He didn't sound like everybody else, but it was more than just being a Galilean. He sounded like he had been with Jesus. When people hear us talk, do they hear something different about us? Do they look at us and say, boy, it sounds like you've been with Jesus? Fast forward to Acts chapter 4. When that same Peter and his friend John are on trial before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says that the Sanhedrin looked at them. They were hearing what they had to say. And it was evident to them that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus was not there. Jesus is in heaven. But they saw these men and they said, you know, it's evident you've been with Jesus. You look like Him. You sound like Him. When people look at us, do they see somebody who looks like Jesus? Do they see somebody who has been with Jesus? The only way that can happen is if I'm related to Jesus by obeying what He tells me to do to get into His family. The only way that can happen is if I research Him, find out what He was, how He lived, and how He wants me to live, and to model that in my life. The only way that can happen is for me not to just do that one time, but is to spend time with Him every day. To remain with Him so that more and more as the years go by, like that older couple, more and more as the years go by, I begin to look more like Jesus than I do anybody else. I begin to look more like Jesus than I ever did before. And hopefully I begin to look more like Jesus than I even do myself. They looked at those men and said, we know these men have been with Jesus. How much do we look like Jesus? What are we doing to look more like Jesus? That's our emphasis for the month of November, but that's especially our emphasis for our lectureship. And I hope that you will make plans to be here. Final thing I want us to talk about today is that if you're going to look like Jesus, then you've got to relinquish self to Him. You can't look like you and look like Jesus at the same time. You've got to decide, I want to look like Him. I want to give myself to Him. How do I do that? I do that by believing that He is the Son of God. By making up my mind that the evidence is so overwhelming, I know that He came and died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead, and I believe that with all of my heart. And with that faith in my heart, I need to turn away from sin. I need to repent, say, I want to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. And if I don't do that, Luke 13 says, Jesus says, I'm going to perish. Make up my mind. I want to get away from sin. I want to give my life over to the Lord. Relinquish self. Turn my life in His direction. Confess the faith that is in my heart. And to be baptized, to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of all of my sins. Not because some man standing up on a stage told me to do it. Not because some church in a publication told me to do it. But because the man, the Son of God, the one who came down from heaven to die on the cross and to be my Savior and condescended in order to call me His brother, because He's the one who told me to do it. Jesus said, he who believes, Mark 16, 16, and is baptized, that person shall be saved. If you've never done that, we encourage you to do it today. To make up your mind, I want to be baptized. The water is here, there are towels here, there are garments here, everything is ready. And to come up from that baptistry with the determination to do what the Lord says, and that is, I'm going to be faithful to Him. I'm going to remain with Him for the rest of my life. Are you ready to relinquish self to the Lord this day? The song says, I am mine no more. Jesus is my Lord, and He rules my life. That's true. But only true if you relinquish yourself to Him. And you can do that even right now as together we stand and sing.